So we've been talking about what the Bible really says about all this year, and during this season, we've been talking about relating in good ways to others, relating how we do our relationships. So we've talked this month about marriage, divorce, and singleness. We've talked about families. We've talked about work relationships. And today we're talking about what difference does different make. So I'm going to let you define when I say if someone is different from me. I'm going to let you define what that is, because you could be having a dozen different things going through your head. Somebody is different maybe in beliefs or attitudes or race or gender or age or tons of other things. So you be thinking about how you think of that, how you think of others as being different from you. Or it could be when you felt or been different from others around you. Maybe struggling when they're not struggling, maybe grieving when they're not grieving, maybe joyful when other people are not joyful. This is a really big subject, differences, so we could spend a long time on it. So I'm just going to give you a few things to think about today. Now, if you read the Friday weekly email, you know that in the family that I grew up in, we were all Lutherans until one of my aunts married a man who was Catholic. And that was a huge scandal in the family. Really, in many ways, he was always left out of things. And because my aunt made a promise to raise her children Catholic, my cousin was also often left out of things. And yet I got to know him and to love my cousin, and I got to know my uncle quite well, and he was just the dearest person and loved his family so vigorously that knowing him made such a difference for me growing up. Really, him being Catholic made no difference to me. If I would say what made a difference, I would say that did not, although it made a difference to a lot of people in our family. So those are the kinds of things we're going to go through our heads today. We're going to read two passages from Scripture. You're going to have a lot of patience for Jim as he reads today, because he got the Old Testament passage with a lot of hard names in it. Because I'm going to talk about this story in a few minutes, but this is the story of Mephibosheth. Okay? And that's not even the hardest word in the passage. Okay? This is a story about Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son who was crippled in a fall when he was 5 years old. And then we're going to hear a story of Jesus with the bent over woman and how he heals her. So those are the two passages we're going to hear. We're going to start with the Old Testament passage.
The first reading is from 2 Samuel 4:4. Saul's son Jonathan had a son who was crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled, and in her haste to flee, it happened that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. And then, from chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, David asked, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and he was summoned to David. The king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "At your service." The king said, "Is there anyone remaining of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" Ziba said to the king, "There remains a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, son of Amiel, at Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, son of Emiel, at Lodabar. Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and did obedience. David said, Mephibosheth? He answered, I am your servant. David said to him, Do not be afraid, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and all you and you yourself shall eat at my table always. The word of God for the people of God.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called over and said, Woman, your ailment has been healed. You are set free. And when he laid his hands on her, she immediately stood up and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, and kept saying to the crowd, There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on one of those days to be cured, but not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord answered him and said, You hypocrites, do not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day? When Jesus had said this, all of his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing with all the wonderful things he had been doing. The words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Open our hearts today, O God, to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I'm going to share two Bible stories that are about relationships with people who are, in quotes, different according to the Bible, and what happens to them. Listen carefully, because in one story, the person is kept alongside and helped. It's one kind of healing. And in the other, a woman is changed, relieved of what has weighed her down, and she is healed. Both are healed, really. And the question is, how is healing found for oneself and the other when we are willing to know someone who is different? Maybe that's just different from us, or maybe it's someone who's different by society's standards. Let's see what the Bible really says about what difference does different make. The story begins with King David, the great King David of the Old Testament. Remember the house and the lineage of David from whom Jesus comes? Before David was king, Saul was king, and Saul had a son named Jonathan, who became very close to David. They were soulmates, dear friends, remained so even when Saul and David competed with each other for the throne of Israel, and David won. And then we find the story of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was a son of Jonathan and the grandson of Israel's king Saul. And when the boy was only 5 years old, his father Jonathan was killed in battle with the Philistines at Mount Gilboa in the Jezreel Valley. Learning of the death of his son Jonathan in battle, Saul then took his own life. Both Mephibosheth's father and grandfather died. Now, It is customary in those days that when a ruler was defeated, that his family would be killed as well, so there'd be no lineage of that ruler left to reclaim the throne. However, we find in 2 Samuel 4 that Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, survives. Mephibosheth survives because his nurse flees with him. And in the course of the fleeing, somehow he falls or is dropped or something happens to him that leaves him unable to use his legs. He is what the Bible says is lame. Years later, King David is thinking about his friend Jonathan, son of Saul, and asks if there's anyone left from Jonathan's family. And he's told a lame son named Mephibosheth. And David says, "Bring him to me." Now, Mephibosheth had grown and had a son of his own when King David learned of his whereabouts. He had no use of his legs. He had lost his heritage, and he lived in a desolate place called Lodabar. Translated, that name literally means a land of nothing. Mephibosheth had been reduced to having nothing. King David and Jonathan had been very close friends and became as brothers. Because of their relationship and an oath David made to Jonathan to care for Jonathan's family, he wanted to honor that by finding and caring for Mephibosheth. So one of Saul's servants was questioned and told King David of the young man's location. Mephibosheth was summoned to appear before the king. He had no idea what this was about. He came not knowing if he would be killed or what would happen. 2 Samuel 9 describes this meeting. The young man bowed humbly, and David told him not to be afraid. He says, "I'm going to surely show you kindness for the sake of your father. I'm going to restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you, in fact, will even eat at my table." David restored him, brought him close to him, and cared for Mephibosheth and his family. All of this, in spite of the fact that the Old Testament belief was that disability, like Mephibosheth had, not being able to walk, was punishment for doing wrong and marred the divine image in people, barring them from positions of leadership and stigmatizing them for their presumed lack of faith. That is the Old Testament. The Old Testament portrays disability as a curse and as a result of disobedience or unbelief or ignorance, that somehow this would be contagious and would spread if someone was near in relationship with the person. In the very center of this understanding is the teaching found in the book of Leviticus, which sets forth the requirements for ministry, for serving God in the Old Testament. Physical imperfection was seen as an impediment to the exercise of serving God. "Speak to Aaron," Leviticus says, "saying, 'None of your offspring throughout their generation who has a blemish may approach to offer the bread of his God. For no one who has a blemish may draw near, a man blind or lame or one who has a mutilated face or a limb or a man who has an injured foot or an injured hand.'" And it goes on to describe all the kinds of physical things that prevent people from drawing near to God. Yet King David goes against this law in Leviticus. And the common belief of his day and the Old Testament, and he draws Mephibosheth and his family close to him. He gives him back his land, and he brings him back to his table to eat with him. Eating with others showed not just kindness, but a desire to draw close, to protect, to know. David provides healing and hope for Mephibosheth, even though he is different. David goes beyond the Levitical law to bring healing and hope, to keep his promise to his old friend Jonathan, and to show all future generations how to be with those who are, in quotes, different. This is only the beginning of the biblical story about this. One day, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, like today, like this Sabbath day. and a woman appears just when he is teaching. And she is, as Pastor Evie told us, she is bent over like this, sucking dirt, watching feet, eating stones. In the synagogue, women and men sat separately, and women were not allowed to speak or read. I imagine that as she enters the synagogue, the crowd parts because every one of them knows this woman. They have watched her become more and more crippled, bent over for 18 years, and they blamed her for it. Something she did must have caused this, so they stayed away from her in case they might catch it. And they left her out of their community and their worship. And they left her to watch only people's feet as she shuffled in an effort to get water and food. What possesses her to make her way to the synagogue that day? What possesses this woman? Despair or depression? Profound sadness at the exclusion she's known? Has she heard about the healer Jesus? Heard about him? And there she is, sure as anything, in the back of the synagogue, bent over, and people parted, and Jesus sees her. When Jesus saw her, he calls her over to him, and he says, "Come here." Here is one who is so different, and Jesus speaks to her, filled with compassion and a desire to heal. And he says, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." Then he does what no one has done for a long time. He touches her. I picture that he runs his hand up along her spine and invites her to stand. He touches her, and when he lays his hands on her, immediately she stands up straight and begins praising God. Wow! Can you imagine that they would all be so joyful over her being healed that they couldn't help but shout and be joyous with her? Can you imagine Jesus laying his hand on her and speaking to her and freeing her after 18 years of pain and sorrow, that they would all be overcome with joy? No! The leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which you can work. On those days, come and be cured, but not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered this person and said, "You hypocrites, don't you untie your donkey on this day? Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham?" Now that's a title that's normally only given to men. And the expression "son of Abraham," often used to indicate when a male Jew was recognized as bound to the covenant of God. Jesus uses that word for the woman. He says, "daughter of Abraham." With this title, he recognizes her as having equal worth. He says this in defiance of the ancient law that prohibited work on the Sabbath. Jesus says, in effect, what better day to heal, to include, to restore, than on the Lord's Day? He teaches them and all of us that keeping Sabbath is about more than refraining from physical labor. Jesus teaches us that Sabbath is the practice of shalom, of love in action, and God's reign comes into our midst on the Sabbath so divinely and sometimes outrageously as on that day. When he said this, all of his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd then began rejoicing at the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. Can you imagine Jesus rejoicing with this woman? laughing and singing, dancing and praising God for everything that God had done for her and shown them. What do you think this means for us today when we think about differences among people and what Jesus leads us toward? Well, there are many, many, many important laws in Scripture and in society that need to be kept for the good of all people. Jesus knew that too. Many laws that need to be kept. Both King David and Jesus went beyond the laws of their day to restore and heal those who were excluded and suffering. And not only did David restore Mephibosheth and Jesus restore the bent over woman to their communities and their people, they helped them be reconnected to God. Through Jesus, the bent over woman knew the healing power of God and God's love. There are a couple of things I wonder about as we think about what these stories mean for us. What are the times when you or I have felt and known the pain of being different? Countless ways that this is possible. Perhaps a physical or a mental difference, or other things that set us apart and out of relationships. We're too fat or too skinny. Our interests are too strange. We have trouble speaking, or all kinds of other things. Who was Jesus for you and said, "Come here. Come here. Let me help you stand up and know God's love"? Who brought a measure or a lot of healing to you? Maybe they didn't do it perfectly or completely, but they did it willingly. Think about them and say a prayer of thanksgiving for them right now. Dear Jesus, I thank you for that person that helped me. And now, who needs this hope of healing from you right now? How is God asking you to go beyond even the ways you perhaps have been taught to reach to someone who is different? Picture yourself in the synagogue on that Sabbath day and watch and learn from Jesus. As the people part, Jesus tells the woman to come here. Think about that. Open your heart. And Jesus reaches for her and says, "You are healed." Picture your hands offering hope to someone who is lonely or afraid or ashamed or hurt. Picture the rejoicing that takes place when someone who is different, you or me or someone else, the rejoicing that takes place in the community and in heaven. What to do and how to do it, you ask. When there's someone or something that's different from me, well, look at people to begin with. Look at one another. Talk to others. Find out what worries them and what truly would help. Learn about others. And then thank God by rejoicing that even now, even in this moment, God is bringing healing, restoring, strengthening, and lifting all of us up so that we might know the powerful love of God, in whose name we offer this day. Amen.